Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Presentation.
It's Toucher and Rich's Laugh Gamut.
We're 30 seconds until kickoff on the 98.5, the Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network, and surprisingly, no one has seen Bill Belichick.
This is crazy, Bob. I mean, he's the first guy that's always on the field, ready to go. First guy to have his team ready. And oh my God, what the hell is that?
All the lights have just gone off in Gillette Stadium. Wait a minute. There's now one lone spotlight shining on an older gentleman who looks to be dressed as Superman. He's now sliding down some zip line from the 300 section as Living on a Prayer begins to play over the loudspeakers.
It's like Richie Sambora. Look out, Bob. It looks like Bill Belichick has got Bon Jovi.
Unreal. Bill has now landed onto a stage with exploding pyro and smoke. Gigantic letters behind him flashing, Kiss My Ring. Get to crack a smile.
This is great, Bob Belichick. Play some Sugar on Me.
Woo! 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. And Rich, Scott Zolak and Jeff Howe have a book out.
They do. And it just came out, I think, like 2-3 weeks ago. If These Walls Could Talk. The New England Patriots. Stories from the New England Patriots. Sideline, locker room, and press box.
It's Oprah's book of the month.
It is. As told by Scott Zolak and Jeff Howe with a foreword by Drew Bledsoe. I'm not sure how Zolak got Drew Bledsoe to do this.
I know.
They're not close at all. But yeah, so this is something that is now available at many places. I don't know if there is a an audio book and who does it. Because I'd like to know who does the reading of this.
You'd have to imagine it's Zolak.
You would have to assume it was Zolak, but since we do not know that, I had Scott Zolak sit down, and I read some of this book. It's pretty good. I'll be honest. Now, I only read about like 4 chapters, but it's the early stuff, the stuff that Zolak was involved in. And, you know, he tells some pretty good stories in here. Now, the second half where it's about, you know, him being around the team. I don't know if I want to read that as much, but basically the first half is about him being a dumbass with Drew Bledsoe and all the stupid stuff they did. It's pretty damn good. Now, what I did do, however, is I sat him down and I said, hey, would you mind reading a couple excerpts from this? So we're going to play a quick game with you, John, and that is,
okay,
I'm going to play you a clip of our own Scott Zolak reading something, and you have to tell me whether or not it is a real excerpt from his book, If These Walls Could Talk, or a fake one. Okay, John?
Okay.
All right. So let's start with number one.
Chapter 35, Meeting Gronk. One time I saw Gronk, and I was like, hey, what's up, Gronk? And he was like, what's up, Zo? I'm Gronk. And I was like, yeah, man, I know, you're Gronk. I said, hey, what's up? And he was like, oh, yeah. I was like, hey, Gronk. And he was like, what, Zo? And I yelled, glow stick, glow stick, glow stick. It was awesome.
I'm going to say no, that is not in the book.
Yes, you're correct. That is not truly in the book. However, I'm sure that's a conversation
happened,
that probably truly happened, yeah. I would think. Now, is this it from the book or not?
So one day, a group of boaters were waving a bit more aggressively at the players. Who assumed that it was just simply excited to see my boy Bledsoe? Eventually, the boaters were able to approach the players loudly and warn them, and quote-unquote, hey, there are boulders the size of Volkswagens just below you. Then we quickly realized that we were riding those wave runners in and out, and the Sea-Doos were going to explode if we hit one of those suckers. We did some stupid shit, Zolak said.
All right. I'm going to say that is in the book.
Yeah, so they're riding these Sea-Doos through some boulders.
Yeah. Also, and him referring to himself in the third person. Yeah.
Zolak said.
That's what sold it to me, anyway.
So, like, all these people are going like this, and they're like, wow, they must really love Drew Bledsoe. They must think he's amazing. They're like, no, jackasses. You're about to smash into something, and your Sea-Doos are going to blow up.
I just picture the two of them, Kenny Powers style, just rocking sea dudes.
Oh, you know they did.
Yeah.
They probably had their the Oakley blades on while they were doing it.
Oh, the exact same thing. They got their blades on, just like, what's up, ladies?
Sure. All right, is this from If These Walls Could Talk, Scott Zolak's book, or not?
Chapter 4, Charlie Weiss and the Case of the Missing Pig. It was 1999. Larry Izzo bought a pot-bellied pig to practice and jokingly named it the team mascot. Hours later, the pig went missing. It was around 4 o'clock that day. I wandered into the locker room, and I found a naked Charlie Weiss covered in pig blood with a hoof hanging from his mouth and a pig carcass on the floor. When I yelled, "What have you done?" Charlie responded, "Charlie's been a bad, bad boy."
I'm going to say, no, it didn't happen, but I could have totally seen it happen at some point.
No, that actually did happen.
That's no.
The right there, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
Charlie Weiss.
Charlie Weiss was sitting there shirtless. You know, like when a dog gets a piece of meat and they growl at you?
Right.
Yeah. And he was bloodthirsty at that point.
He said, "Leave me alone."
Yes, he was bloodthirsty and protecting it.
Was it Charlie's been a bad, bad boy? Hey, yeah. Hey, hey.
Hey, are you gonna eat that alive pig? The best part is the blood and squeals.
What's up, Rudy?
Take out his beating heart. Take a nice bite, then eat more.
That's not
stick your head in the carcass. Oh. Stick your head in the carcass. Oh, here we go.
I didn't know you had more bars.
Hey, let's eat a living pig. Start with the feet, then get the intestine.
He's going to eat the whole pig.
Slurp up the intestines, then you move down to the guts. The liver is nice, as the bladder.
All right, that's gross. I don't want to think
stick your head in the carcass. Stick in your head in the carcass. Blood flowing everywhere.
All right, John, is this from a real excerpt from If These Walls Could Talk, the Scott Zolak book, or a fake one?
Chapter 17. Jeff Fisher's jean shorts. One day, Jeff Fisher stopped by to see his old buddy, Pete Carroll. He pulled up with two hot mamacitas in the back. Pete yelled, "Fish, where you been, man?" Jeff Fisher then placed his index finger under Pete's nose and said, "Where you think?"
That's a true story.
I wish it was. It is not in the book.
Mamacita.
Oh, yeah. What do you think?
What do you think I've been doing? I ain't been fishing.
With two hot mamacitas.
Yeah, I got two hot mamacitas in the back.
Great.
I'm sorry. There's only two. That means no room for you.
That's something I could totally see Jeff Fisher have done.
Yeah.
Maybe several times.
He just pulls up and he's like,
"Hey there.
Hey, what do you
guess
like?
Guess where I've been."
Yeah, you like these Daisy Dukes?
Well, did this really happen in Zolak's book, or is it something that is not indeed in If These Walls Could Talk?
Well, there's this guy by the name of Justin Timberlake who thought he created this in a box thing on Saturday Night Live. You could go back to probably 1996, 1997. I used to get a Dunkin' Donuts box, cut out the back of it, keep the French crullers laid out, and I would stick it in there, and I'd go in, and everybody would be, "Oh," and I had this guy by the name of Ron O'Neill, who's our head trainer. He would take his hand and almost reach in and go, "Oh, mind if I have one?" I was the original in a box guy. Suck on that one.
That is in the book.
That's a story we've all heard many times.
Yes.
He loves to take credit for that.
Yeah. Oh, it's the biggest accomplishment.
Oh, without a doubt. All right, is this from the If These Walls Could Talk, Scott Zolak book, or not?
Chapter 6, the Everclear concert. Nothing happened at the Everclear concert. Absolutely nothing. Shut the f*** up, Walker.
Well, I guess I can't answer this one then.
In fairness, he does talk about the Everclear concert.
Sure he does. Yeah,
he talks
about it on the air.
He does. He does talk about that in the book. Yes, he does. All right. And
set up, Wallach.
And finally, is this indeed from the Scott Zolak If These Walls Could Talk book or not?
Chapter 26, the worst player I've ever played with. There was once this guy the Patriots signed off the practice squad who was horrible in every single way. Everything he did was failure. Whether it was on the field, whether it was in the locker room, Mike Sarge Riley sucked. A big one.
See.
Sarge. Rocking down a Callum with Jay Stu. Sarge. Getting free saga swings from Indy. Sarge. Extra dark sauce with the Saugus wings.
I love the reveal that Joe Murray went to Kowloon after his wedding.
That's amazing.
And Sarge got a lady there, picked her up.
Oh, no. The big reveal is that he brought them all to the wedding party to Kowloon and said, when there's Sarge, there's no charge.
Yeah, right. And Sarge then took that and jettisoned into it to a nice female.
He did. Now, Scott Zolak, I have this right here, Fred. This is... from the recording booth, we have an outtake here from Scott Zolak doing his reads.
Chapter 4, Charlie Weiss and the Case of the Missing Pig. It was 1999. Larry Izzo bought a pot-bellied pig to practice and jokingly named it the team mascot. Hours later, the pig went missing. It was around 4 o'clock that day. I wandered into the locker room, and I found a naked Charlie Weiss covered in pig blood with a hoof hanging... This is like fart box. F*** me. Okay. Covered in pig blood with a hoof hanging from his mouth and a... and a pig... All right. With a hoof hanging from his mouth and a pig carcass on the floor. When I yelled, "What have you done?" Charlie responded, "Charlie's been a bad, bad boy."
Hey.
He's Muttley.
Hey, could you please pull over the car? There's a dead squirrel sitting on the side of the road.
You're going to eat something on the side of the road.
Hey, just throw it on the engine. By the time we get home, it will be nice and done.
Why would you eat that?
Eat, red and roadkill. Eat, red and roadkill. Guess what? It don't cost you a dime.
Did you get sick?
Throw it into a big pile of SpaghettiOs. Now you got maggot-filled corpses.
Somebody just tweeted me a photo of Bob Wiley, and it says Nick Chubb next to Captain Chubb.
I like your style, Chubb. Yeah. You can pick your teeth with the bones. Why not? Spill into aisle 3. I went a little nuts at the grocery store. I went a little nuts at the grocery store. I broke 3 bottles of ragu.
Oh, ragu?
Okay. Yeah. Then I went and took I can't think of anything. Hershey bars and some milk.
All right. Dave Richard is going to join us. I'm sure we'll get many calls not saying Sarge. We will have that for you in just a moment.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Real quickly, my wife puts the show on in the background when my kids are getting ready for school, and they obviously don't listen, they don't care, but as soon as they heard you say Pauly D was coming, oh my goodness.
That's amazing. So your kids, who are 10 and 8, love Pauly D.
They love him.
Okay. Well, we also don't know if he's coming in studio.
No.
Pauly D from the Jersey Shore.
But if there was any way that I know DJ Pauly Del Vecchio has, you know, he DJs late into the night. If he happened to still be up and he could come into the station, my family would skip school. My kids would skip school.
Yeah, God. You would let your kids skip school to meet Pauly D?
I've never seen them so excited in my entire life.
Well, then that does say something. That is cool. Now, that's cool. If they're, like, way into it, then awesome.
They, both of them. Which never happens. Both of them are, because my daughter's obsessed with the Jersey Shore, as am I. So I just
said, she's eight.
Oh yeah, she knows that they're all idiots. You know, she's because people are like, why are you letting them watch Jersey Shore? I'm like, what the hell are they doing? I mean, it's a joke. But they don't do drugs or say racial stuff. I mean, what do I care? And so that's pretty much my barometer as a parent. But if Pauly D came in, my kids would lose their minds. Like, I've never seen in my life. They've met, you know, athletes and whatever. They met, you know, Milo from The Descendants. My son's a big Descendants fan. No. Pauly D comes in this studio. My kids come in 5 in the morning and sit and wait.
What's it look like? Oh. Have we heard anything back yet? Okay. All right.
Where is he playing? Where is he spinning?
He's going to be at the Grand on Monday. So the good people, and I know that there's some people who run that club or run that company who are fans of the show. So then they were listening. We would love to have Pauly D in studio on Monday morning. That would be phenomenal.
Even if we couldn't, if there was a way, I don't know how it works. If there was a way Pauly D was around during the day.
Well, I mean, maybe there's a meet and greet before his show, but those things start at like 10 o'clock at night.
Yeah, I can't do that. It would have to be like during the day.
Do they have next week off school? Because it's Thanksgiving week?
No, they have Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday.
All right, well, let's just see if we can get them. I
can't let them go at 10 o'clock. They got stuff they got to do on the weekend. Or during. I mean, they'd have to miss school the next day, which I'm not doing. But, if we got Pauly D. Oh, it'd be so funny. They would lose.
What if you just let your kids interview Pauly D?
I would.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just
a good segment right there.
Just get your questions ready.
Sure.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
No, they love Pauly D.
Okay.
They think it's funny that Ronnie cries in every episode, as do I. Snooks is always funny.
Mm-hmm.
They're not big fans of the situation. But Pauly D has won them over. Pauly D comes off very well on that show. He never gets frazzled.
All right. Well, if anyone's listening who knows what's going on or can...
For the love of God, what do I ask for?
Make a kid's dream come true.
Like two kids' dreams come true. Fantasy Football with Dave Richard is brought to you by Nissan. Nissan driven to excite. Dave Richard, any connections with the Jersey Shore cast?
I don't know Pauly D. I don't know anybody from the Jersey Shore, but I know exactly how your kids feel, because if I had the chance to meet my hero, Ed Hockley, I would wait just to shake his hand.
Well, you might break it.
That's right. You would have to go to the hospital after that.
Maybe.
Yeah, that would be a big situation going on there, no pun intended.
Hawk Jr.'s out there now, right? Doesn't he got a son? Right.
Doesn't have the arms, but yeah, yes. Well,
of course, no one does.
He's got the voice, though.
He's got over-explanation.
Yes, without a doubt.
All right, so I just for my own edification, I got rid of Chubb like the week before the Browns made the trade. Tell me that this is an outlier, that Chubb's not going to have games like this for the rest of the season.
I'm not going to lie to you, Fred. I'm not going to do that. He's really a good running back, and I don't know. What did you get for him? I'm just curious.
Nothing. I just cut him.
You cut Nick Chubb?
Yeah, because I needed to pick up somebody for a position where one of my guys was on a bye.
All right, so who'd you pick up?
They're probably not on my team anymore.
Okay.
It might have been Herndon from the Jets because Doyle was out.
Yeah, well, that wasn't very good. Look, don't make the mistake next year. We're already talking about how our 2019 rankings are going to look, and I think he's going to be at least a second round pick. He is really.
But you told me that's just the way it goes. You told me I wasn't.
It's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
It's true. It's really true because no one knew that Carlos Hyde was on the trade block.
Right.
So until Carlos Hyde was removed from the equation, We didn't. Nick Chubb was, you know, three carries a game. So in that respect, I guess you're right. You just didn't know that was going to happen. But typically with players like that that have all kinds of upside, you want to hang on to them for as long as possible. Man. If you had to make a move to get Chris Herndon, I guess you just had to do it. It's just the way fantasy is.
Okay, Dave, so there has been, over the past several years, if you were Patriots heavy, your team was doing really well. Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, so many, Julian Edelman, so many pieces. And if you happen to have several of them, you were in luck. However, this is a whole new season, and if you look at the statistics and fantasy points, everyone seems to be down. Is there any faith that you have that the second half of the season is going to return them to their fantasy point greatness?
Well, I think I think with Brady, it's going to end up hinging on Rob Gronkowski, because we've now seen his last three games. There was one game with Gronk, two games without, and one of the games with Gronk, he just didn't look right, where Brady just, his numbers sagged quite a bit. He was still throwing a lot of passes, but his completion percentage has been down, his yards per attempt has been down, and as everybody knows, he has one touchdown in his last three games, and Tom Brady has not been a top 12 fantasy quarterback each of the last 3 weeks. I think a lot of that has to do with Gronk and how defenses play against the Patriots when Gronk isn't on the field. He is that much of a difference maker that it makes coverage easier on the outside receivers, on James White. I think that the offensive line might have a little bit to do with it. I think Sony Michel coming back, and eventually when they're in a game where they're playing from ahead like they usually are, that will be good for Sony Michel. I don't think anybody's freaking out about Tom Brady, but you need a replacement for him this week anyway. I think Marcus Mariota's that guy. And here's the thing. If you pick up Marcus Mariota, you can use him this week against Indianapolis. It should be a good game for him. And then in 2 weeks, Marcus Mariota goes one-on-one with the Jets. They're terrible. And next week, we know that Brady's playing the Jets, so you're going to start him. So what you do is you've got Mariota for this week, you've got Brady for week 12. If Brady comes out and looks terrible in week 12, then at least you can pivot to Marcus Mariota in week 13. But if Brady looks like Brady, then you've got Brady on your team. That's good.
All right. So when you watch Brady, does this look like something that's going to – I mean, you said no one's really worried about it, but are you seeing anything specific with him that worries you?
Yeah, his accuracy is off. And typically, over the course of his career, when he's had a couple of games like this where the numbers just aren't there, his numbers don't look good, he bounces back. I'll give you an example of it. Week 3 at Detroit, he completed 53% of his passes. He only had 133 yards. He had a touchdown. He had an interception. That's it. He came back the next week against Miami, and listen, the Dolphins cure many ills. He had three touchdowns. He completed about two-thirds of his passes. He had almost 275 yards. He was outstanding. I would expect Brady to return to form, and I think it's going to coincide with Gronk coming back.
All right. So if you need somebody who is a, once again, I mean, I've got kind of a ridiculously Patriots heavy team, unfortunately. I have two wide receivers. If I need a wide receiver off the waiver wire right now, who should I get? Who's going to give me some points?
Well, I don't think you're going to be able to find Corey Davis or Allen Robinson on your waiver wire anymore. They're pretty popular. I like the Panthers wide receivers, DJ Moore and Devin Funchess, this week against the Lions. That Lions pass defense has been terrible. They've allowed 10 touchdowns in their last five games just to wide receivers. Anthony Miller in Chicago is someone who has a lot of long-term appeal. I like him as a number three receiver. And I think Mohamed Sanu, if you're in a PPR league, I like his matchup against Dallas. I think he could end up catching five or six passes and have a decent shot at finding the end zone as well. And then once you get past those guys, you've got a lot of boomer bust receivers like Tyrell Williams, John Ross, Josh Doctson, Chris Godwin would qualify as one of those guys. Players who have a lot of potential to have a big game, but they also have that downside that you're worried about where they might only get you two catches for 25 yards.
All right, on the Nick Chubb tip, is there someone who is that maybe earlier in the season wasn't getting a lot of playing time that's now, it could be in any position, that is now taken over and has a bigger role that you could look for at any position?
Well, off the waiver wire, there's not going to be much, but there are a couple of running backs that you can speculate on Nick Chubb style from like September, where you're just putting them on your bench and you're going to wait and see what happens. And there's actually two running backs that you can do it with, and one of them plays tonight. It's Rashad Penny of the Seahawks, and it's Josh Adams of the Eagles. And I wouldn't start either one of them this week. I think they're both risky plays. But Adams looks like he's going to be the lead rushing downs, early downs back for Philadelphia. Might be good for about 12 carries a game when things are going right for the Eagles, which I don't think they will be against New Orleans, which is why you don't want to use him this week. But moving forward, it's fine. And Penny had a good game last week. Chris Carson's expected back. Carson will be the lead back for Seattle. But if anything happens to them, and he's been banged up lately, I think Penny will eventually work his way into being the primary back for Seattle. So those are two running backs that you pick up now, you stash them on your bench, and you wait and see what happens.
All right. I'm still obsessed with this Chubb situation. Dave? You notice we can't take phone calls anymore. Oh, by the way, you handled the Ed Sarge one very well on your show.
Oh, no problem. You mean on Saturday?
Yeah.
Did you hear that? You obviously heard it.
Oh, yeah. You got the steak and eggs in there.
Yeah, we played it.
Of course.
He's gotten through.
I'm loyal to you guys.
He's gotten through to Hannity, Feinbaum, Francesa. He's had a lot of success. This is John from Vegas, fella. All right, Dave, who will excite fantasy owners this week? It's brought to you by Nissan, driven to excite.
I'm going to go with Ricky Seals-Jones. He's so good, he has three names, but he's taking on the Raiders. They've been terrible against tight ends. I think David Johnson's going to crush Oakland on the ground, but when they do throw, Seals-Jones will be a target for them. He had 9 targets last week, 5 catches. Hasn't scored in a long time, so he's due. If you're streaming tight ends this week, or if you're tired of dealing with 5 fantasy points from Evan Engram or Jordan Reed or even Jimmy Graham, Ricky Seals-Jones is worth taking a shot on.
All right, you can catch Dave on Fantasy Football Today live every day at noon on CBS Sports News streaming channel, CBS Sports HQ, for the latest sports news highlights and smart analysis. It's all free at CBSSportsHQ.com or on the free CBS Sports app. Dave Richard, it's always a pleasure.
Same here, gentlemen. We will talk next week.
All right, see you, man.
Appreciate it. All right, someone has a good point. James Corden did a bit where he tried to follow Mark Wahlberg's routine, which I've only read about 17 writers that have done the same thing. Mike, we're trying to figure out what's going to happen. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
First of all, live-action movie. James Corden would be a great live-action Paddington Bear. And secondly, at some point in time, he is going to take a tea and crumpet break.
Oh, he's going to have a break, like a tea break?
Yeah, or he's going to, like, shove a donut in his mouth.
Yeah. Like,
one other thing, I'm hanging out with Sarge, but he's leaving right now.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. That was pretty good.
That's top five.
Yeah.
That's top five.
That's a good one.
Well, Sarge has got something to say about that, if I can find it.
That's pretty good.
That's funny?
I think it's funny.
I'm putting a 10 in front of Sarge. I'm putting a
I got to find it. I wanted one of Sarge's responses.
Oh, I'm going to actually waste her time to
How
call.
How is it a waste of time to call? Nice
to
message
call
to send.
Or tweet me and to say that. They're just wasting their time.
What a waste of time
for someone to
show.
Call. Hey. No, for someone to call
you
and
got a little
rip
time
me.
To waste, 617-779.
No, you're not getting the point. To rip me for that, to actually have that time to do that.
Sarge, you lose your mind. You can't figure out why people think it's funny.
I think it's funny.
I'm putting a 10 in.
No, you don't. You certainly do not.
Aha!
All right, here are the headlines. .985 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. I'm sure you've seen it by now, but Fitchburg State, which is somewhere in Massachusetts, was playing the Nichols College Bison.
You know what the first thing I thought when I saw that clip was? It was like, I bet John Wallach's calling that game.
Yeah, it's in like basically a high school gym.
That's mean. No. It's just the way that you describe some of those games.
Yeah.
The Hobart, or not Hobart,
that's
Butler.
Like college. And the bleachers only on one side of the gym at Hobart.
Yeah, because the bleachers are not even down.
It's
at Fitchburg State.
But it's Division One, but at one point you had bleachers you pull out of the wall, right?
Yes, at Bryant. They just redid the gym, but yes, that's true.
At Bryant. Now they have been upgraded since then, which is good. And it is bigger than obviously what happened at Fitchburg State. But, I mean, what this.
Wait, so are you still doing Bryant?
I am. They won their first game of the season last night.
Did you do the game?
I did.
Wow. So you drove down. What time did you get home?
10.
My goodness.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Just in time for the Bruins.
You say count it.
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Do you want to? What if who's around? What if BC asked you to call the games?
Well,
they just hired a new guy.
I can't. They just hired a new guy, and their rights are owned by the other guys, so I can't.
No. Could always turn tail.
I could. I could turn.
And hit it.
I could turn heel, Fred.
The BC basketball games are depressing on the radio because they're like on AM.
I think they lost last night too.
They're on like AM.
Yep.
Tees up a three and makes it.
Yep.
He made the shot.
That's right, for the win.
Do you get like tweets to you when you're calling games?
Yes, I do actually.
I'm going to say this,
from students.
You're better than Bryant.
Thank you.
I mean, it's like you do Celtics games.
Yes, I do.
Like, there's got to be. And listen, Brian's fine, but I mean, you're on an average. What's the average crowd that you call a game in front of?
1,500, maybe a little less.
Maybe a little.
We had about 1,000 last night.
Okay, you're bigger than that.
Yeah, we had 1,000 last night, Fred.
Who?
Students are there.
Students go to Bryant basketball games. What a bunch of nerds. Like, who on a Wednesday night's like, what do you guys want to do? Bro, let's go check out this garbage team.
You need an agent.
Garbage team?
They're
1-2 on the season, Fred. Not garbage.
It's not like if you went to Michigan State.
That's true.
And you go to a game.
So it's a low major, yes.
And I think that people that like camp out for Duke tickets.
Yeah, it's a little different at Bryant. That's true.
No, but when they're kids that camp out for Duke basketball tickets, it's like, relax. They're your age.
Mm?
Like, you know, cut it out. With your stupid shirts on.
They call it Krzyzewskiville, in fact.
Yeah, have some, like, sense of hating everything when you're in college. Like, when you're in college, it's not cool to like something.
No, that was your time to hate everything. That's true, in college.
Yeah. I mean, it's natural.
Nope, I understand.
I mean, they talk about it in the Beastie Boys book. It just wasn't cool to, like, say you liked anything. So you saying that, like 800 students came out to that game?
800, 1,000, something like that.
How many
last
kids
night?
Go to Bryant?
Including the graduate school?
No.
Undergrad?
Yeah.
2,800, 3,000.
And you're saying so like a third of the kids came out?
I don't think they were all students. I say students come out, but there were other people that were there.
Are there players that have big families?
Yes.
Are there people that want to get out of the cold?
I don't have the answer for that. I'm sorry.
There was like a free suit promotion?
No. There was a promotion at halftime. You get free books for a semester, so that might have been the reason.
Oh, that's actually worth it. Yeah. How many hundreds of dollars is that worth?
I don't know.
Not worth going to the Bryant game.
If it was when big I was
college, win last
it was like
time, 71-63.
So a third of the Bryant population
just
about goes to the games. What a bunch of tools.
It's a good time. People come out and enjoy themselves.
Listen, I understand why you do it. It keeps you sharp. I understand why you do it. I'm not making fun of you. Now it's gone into somewhere totally different.
It's like the Sarge calls. It's kind of evolved into something else.
Like, I went to Rollins, and there was a kid who I believe at a certain time set, I don't know if it was the D2 record, but I think it was the record for consecutive three-pointers made, or maybe total three-pointers made.
All right.
I know something was going on with him.
Right.
I don't know, and my school was about the size of Bryant.
Okay.
Maybe a little smaller. And I don't know anyone who ever went to a basketball game. And we didn't have a football team.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were in Florida, too. There were a lot of other things to do, I would think.
I mean, we were in Winter Park.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, we were only, an hour from Disney. We rocked that on a consistent basis.
Bryant fans, very loyal. Very loyal to come out and support their team.
Obviously, if a third of the student body is showing up, maybe it's just all because they're all Wallahawks.
That could be.
I would bet you that I would go to a game if I was a fan of this show to see Wallach way before I would go to watch garbage basketball.
Well, you have people like yell at your name all the time and stuff, right? And
it has happened over the years, During a couple of playoff games, there were fans that brought Wallach heads and put them behind the bench.
All right. See, true. I like that.
Yep.
If you listen to our show, you don't count. As one of the losers. Andrew, go ahead.
Yeah, I call in most mornings, Fred, and typically I'm yelling at my radio disagreeing with you, but this morning you're spot on. I went to a garbage D1 school, too, and I don't think a single person went to any of the basketball games.
No, especially like on a Wednesday night. That's
what school did you go
out
to? What school did you go to?
Sacred Heart played Bryant, too.
They do. They play Bryant twice a year.
Like Wednesday was
a rivalry.
It is. Mammoth rivalry. I've been to the Pitt Center.
Yeah,
I mean,
oh yeah, everyone knows the Pitt Center.
That's right.
I mean, how many, what's the graduation rate at Bryant? How many CPAs?
I'm telling you, it's a decent business school.
I didn't say Bryant was a bad school.
Okay.
Because I have no knowledge of that.
Okay.
And in fact, I probably couldn't have gotten into Bryant. I'm in no way, shape, or form qualified to talk about what's a good school or what's not.
Yeah.
I will say
a lot of smart grads.
If the Curry College where Bird graduated from.
Well, that's a whole other can of worms.
Adam 12 told me that's a good school.
Yep.
Adam 12 told me that's a decent...
Fred, but then it's all about Everett connections.
Yep, that's true.
If you know somebody in the right place...
He passed the sets.
Fred. We used to go to like, basketball games. We used to go all banged up. Like, we'll have a drink or a smoke before and just watch some of the games.
What
like,
GPA did you graduate with, Bird?
What?
What GPA did you graduate with from Curry College?
2.87, I think.
Yeah, it's like what I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
Yeah, we didn't go to all the basketball games. Me and my friends were like, let's go to this basketball game, let's drink and have a smoke.
But if you were gonna get banged up, why didn't you just go out?
No, it was like a random Tuesday, Wednesday night. Might as well stay on campus, get banged up, and just walk home 10 feet away.
Try to get laid.
There was girls there.
At the basketball game?
Yes! Yes!
John, are there girls at the basketball game?
I haven't seen one.
Like a handful, but not a lot.
It's just a crowd full of Wally.
It's just a crowd full of
How many
me.
Kids go to Curry College?
When I went, a couple thousand.
Did they give away scholarships for basketball?
A handful.
I'm not even acting like I'm cool.
No, I know.
Curry's a Division III school. Yeah. How do they give away scholarships?
It's not called a scholarship. It's called something else. I forget what it's called.
Oh,
it's
like okay.
Money in an envelope.
Bryant, they do give away. It's a Division I school. Lots of scholarships, you see.
Yeah. Yep. And I would take a scholarship to play basketball at Bryant.
Yep.
I just can't envision... Like, I went to Georgia Tech games when I lived in Atlanta.
Those packed out.
Oh, yeah.
It depends.
Well, like, you were going there. Kenny Anderson there. And, you know, that, no, Brian Oliver.
They were gone by the time I was there.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, I was there when
the white kid was there that went pro.
You know Bobby Sura? No, that's Florida State. I don't know.
He was a really good college player, and he went pro.
Oh, why am I having a hard time remembering his name?
I don't know.
What about like Bosch and what's his name?
I wasn't there when Bosch was there, but I was there when they had when they made the Final Four.
Oh yeah, that's the Kenny Anderson. No. Dennis Scott.
This was after that.
Oh, they made it to the final game. They got their asses kicked by the Huskies.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was
Connecticut.
Jared Jack was on that
Jack.
Game.
I remember that team. Yeah.
Yeah. That I was there for that, and those games were packed out. When they had the good white kid, they were not packed out. Anthony, go ahead.
Yeah, so I went to Bryant University, just graduated last year, and Fred's right. Well, you're too good for Bryant University. We sucked last year.
We did.
We haven't been good in a while.
Yes, that's correct. 3-28 last year.
I went to the game where you went nuts, where I forget, who was it, O'Shea, who hit the game-winning shot? That was the best game that I've seen, and they've been awful since then.
Yep.
So, Fred's right, but you do a great job calling the game. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you very much.
I've never said, and again, I'm qualifying that I'm saying I never said John did a bad job.
Joe O'Shea hit a shot to send the game to overtime. They won their first NEC tournament game that
But
night.
Rich is right. If you do the Celtics games, like, you're too good to do Bryant.
I mean, you need to be like BC level.
And plus you're on the show, which is which does very well.
But you're that good that somebody said you're good enough to do the best of the best, an NBA game. And I just wonder, and that's a hell of a drive for you, too. You got
about 45 minutes.
Do you have an agent?
Yes, I do.
Fire him.
Yeah, well, I think it's slim pickings for Johnny Boy. I don't think John
so tickets for agents. So
Rich, everybody in the control, we all said fire him at the exact same time that you.
How many years have you been doing Bryant?
I don't think John walks into CAA and they're like, okay, we got him.
Dude, if you're on your resume, is that you, that the Celtics have
deemed
you good
enough. I don't deny
enough.
That. I just don't know what agent he's going to get.
One that's good enough to get him to at least a bigger college.
Is your agent, does he represent anyone else? Or does he work out of
Does he represent everyone else?
He works out of his basement.
He turned him down.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
What?
Okay. The guy who represents everyone turned you down.
Everyone.
Yes.
Yes.
Which was not smart.
No, it wasn't.
No.
At the time.
No, it was
not smart of him to do that. No, that's very true. It took me a second to figure out who you were talking about. Yeah. Now I understand. Yes, that's true.
So, I don't know. Yeah, you should do the because I told you the guy from Mitch Albom show who had not nearly as big a role on the Mitch Albom show that you do ended up going from the update guy to
Is that Swirsky?
Swirsky, doing Toronto, and then now I believe he's in Chicago.
Yep, that's true. He was in town last night. Yep.
Yeah, so he's, I mean, he was on the air like once an hour for, you know, a minute.
Mm-hmm.
There was a newsroom there. What a waste of time that was.
Some all sports radio stations I've been to, they call it the bullpen.
That was a WJR, baby. Yeah.
Somebody said I went to Curry College in my sophomore year. The basketball team didn't win a single game. They went 0 for 25.
Yeah.
But Bird was there.
Were you on the team?
No, he was just having sex in the back of a Honda Pilot.
On the team.
Every time I see a Honda Pilot, I just see it shaking. And
see, that's the thing. Every now, it's gotten. I do the same thing. Whenever I see a Honda Pilot on the road, I think of Bird. It's true.
All right. Well, think about. I mean, what's a college here that you could do? Like, you could do Northeastern. Or something. So if you're from Northeastern, BU has a team. Harvard,
give me a call. Happy to do it.
Providence, as Dan says,
Providence is taken.
Okay. Well, BU, Harvard.
Northeastern.
Yeah.
Dude, there's a lot right here within like 10 miles of where we're sitting.
Well,
yes.
Get in touch with Johnny Boy. Get in touch with Johnny Boy. All right. We'll be back. Danny Ainge, the president of basketball operations for your Boston Celtics, will join us.